Publishing Talks, a podcast about the book business. This is David Wook, your host. Today I'm talking to David Steinberger, who's the CEO and president of Perseus Books Group. David, how are you?
Okay, good, David.
Good to talk to you today.
Good to talk to you.
So maybe you could, you know, for those who don't know, maybe you could just talk a little bit about your background, where you came from, how you got into the book business, because I know you did come from another place before you started with books.
Right. So I've actually gone through a couple of careers before I got to books, and they've all been really fun, but nothing as much fun as this business is, as you know. But if you go way back, I spent about 10 years in New York City government, and my last job there was being in charge of the bridges.
I had no idea.
Of New York City. You didn't know that?
No, that's a pretty interesting area, you know, to leap from the bridge to the book.
Right, two great products, two of my favorite products of all time. I have to say, maybe my two favorite products. I feel really lucky.
Right, no plot holes with books.
Worked on bridges and books. There's actually more in common than you think, besides the fact they both begin with the letter B. But in between bridges and books, I was with a consulting firm, Booz Allen, another letter B, and I had this idea that in government I had learned a lot about how to work with organizations that face challenges, and wanted to try to apply that in business as well as government, and got that opportunity at Booz Allen. And an area I gravitated to very quickly was the book industry, because first of all, I was in love with reading. It's a lifelong passion of mine, and it was an industry going through all sorts of interesting changes and challenges, and was very drawn to it, and ultimately ended up arriving at HarperCollins, being offered a position there. At that time, that company was going through some challenging times, and was part of the team that had a lot of success at Harper. And from there, when Perseus was looking for someone to lead this company, made the move here.
So, yeah, what year was it that you started with Perseus?
So that was 2004.
And at that time, Perseus was a publisher distributed by HarperCollins, if I recall.
That's right. That's right.
So then you kind of launched Perseus into a new model, I think. First you acquired CBS, which was a book distribution company where I happened to be working at the time. But subsequently, you've also kind of not only grown the company in distribution by acquiring Consortium, another book distributor, and then Publishers Group West when they were going through their financial difficulties a couple of years ago. You more or less have taken them over. But at the same time, you've implemented, I think, you know, a pretty substantial growth path for the publishing business, and you've also struck off into another direction with kind of strategic alliances with content owners. And I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about all three of those different areas: distribution, publishing, and strategic alliances, because I think they relate. You know, there is a kind of vision there for how you organize the business. But what was this all done on purpose, or was this opportunistic along
right.
the way?
Right. So, yes, I think fundamentally, when I arrived, the company had been built through the combination, the acquisition of a number of independent publishers, and originally in the area of kind of books of quality in a nonfiction area. So psychology and politics and history and science, and but a number of independent publishing programs, and they were operating, the publishing programs were operating very independently, Basic Books, Public Affairs, DeCapo Press, and so on. And they were supported by a central set of services. So we did certain central activities to support each publisher, but the publishers operated on their own. And the concept really was that there was, let's see if there's an alternative to what the traditional, what the typical large conglomerate-owned publisher was doing, which seemed to be gravitating more and more toward big blockbuster commercial books with big author advances attached to them and big risks attached to them. And what I realized after I arrived here is that the company had developed a certain expertise in providing services to independent publishers. So it felt to us like the independent publisher, whether it was basic books doing books on psychology and history and science, like Doug Hofstadter's book Gödel-Escher Bach, is maybe the, in a lot of ways, the quintessential basic book. Or public affairs, which was doing books on politics, like Scott McClellan's book, What Happened. He's the Bush press secretary. You remember that book? That there was something special about a small group of creative people working entrepreneurially to develop and bring books to market. And if they didn't have to worry about the less creative aspects of the business, inventory and printing and financial management, things like that, they were freed from that. They could be nimble and creative and entrepreneurial, and that we developed an expertise in this company at supporting independent publishers. And it was when we recognized that we became very interested in beginning to work with independent publishers and independent companies that we didn't have an ownership interest in. And that's what led to the move into what's called the distribution business, where we began to work with independent publishers that we don't have an ownership interest in. And that includes companies across the spectrum of publishing, from companies like Grove Atlantic on the literary side to Harvard Business School Press in the business category, and so on. And we've had we've worked very hard in that area, and we feel very good about what we've accomplished there in terms of helping independent publishers compete in the industry. And you asked a question about whether it was all part of a vision or whether it was opportunistic, and I think principally it was part of our vision. PGW, I think, is a special case because when its parent we certainly didn't anticipate acquiring PGW when we did. We had a lot going on at that time, but when its parent got into bankruptcy and the 100 independent publishers that were distributed by PGW were, as a result, through no fault of their own, at risk, it just felt, given our mission, because by this time our mission had really evolved and our mission was, and still is, to enable independent publishers to reach their potential. We felt even though the timing wasn't ideal, we had to step in and try to come up with a solution there, and we were successful in making that happen, so that was very gratifying.
Good. So at this point, Perseus Books Group, well, Perseus Book Group is actually the largest book distributor, I think, in the American or North American marketplace. So how many publishers do you distribute altogether, not including the ones that you actually own, but all the, you know, the ones that you don't own?
Right. I think that is true. I think we are, what you said is true about the scope of what we do in terms of distribution. It's about 300 publishers at this point.
And so,
but I think if you're one of those publishers, I think it doesn't feel like you're part of a vast ocean of publishers, because we've maintained this very decentralized model of independent publishers working in a very hands-on way with a central support group. And I think As we've worked more and more with independent publishers that whether we own have an ownership interest with them or not, a couple other things have become clear, and one is that we have to think less about distribution and more about client service more broadly. So we find ourselves involved in lots of other aspects of enabling an independent publisher to succeed.
Well, you've just anticipated the next question that I was going to ask you because, in a sense, the previously in prior years, as the business, the marketplace was different, the challenge for a distributor often felt like it was revolving around how well can you sell books to a myriad of customers, and then how well can you run your warehouse and make sure that you're as efficient as possible in getting books from point A to point B. But in the new environment where there are fewer customers, the sales, the premium placed on sales, strictly speaking, is probably less now than it used to be. You still have to be good at it, but it's harder to differentiate there. Whereas you end up, as you just suggested, having to supply a different set of services to support the publisher clients. And one of those is, I think, to help them navigate the change that digital publishing requires in the business process, the production process, all the elements that go into publishing books. And so I know, you've introduced a fairly large set of services along those lines. I don't know whether this is exactly what you were thinking about talking about, but that seems to me the crux of, at the heart of the change that most publishers are facing today, is that you now have, you have to encompass a digital landscape when you've been set up to do physical production up until now, and it's very different to do digital publishing.
Right. No, so that is clearly, I agree with you, that is clearly the big change that we're all grappling with. And I think one of the things we try to do, because we're in this business of serving independent publishers, is really listen to what independent publishers need and want. And really, a couple of years ago, it began to become clear. It became clear, excuse me, that independent publishers were looking for help on the digital side, that they could see this digital tsunami coming, and it was going to be complicated, and there were going to be all these new parties to deal with, including these big technology companies, and it was going to be very fluid and evolving. And fundamentally, most of them were saying to us, look, we really want to focus on developing really compelling content and working with our authors to create demand for that content. But we need help in thinking about how to take advantage of the opportunity that's coming with digital. And so we began working on what are the set of services that independent publishers are going to help independent publishers in this digital world, and came up with what we have called Constellation, which is our digital service for independent publishers. And the concept there is an independent publisher gives us a print-ready file for a book, and we take care of everything from there in terms of creating opportunities for the publisher to market and publicize and sell their book in using digital technology. And we've been really gratified by the response we've gotten in terms of the enthusiasm publishers have had for that. And fundamentally, we think digital is potentially a very exciting development for the independent publisher, because fundamentally, it's really, if you really step back and look at it, it's about lowering the barriers to marketing and selling books of particular interest to consumers. That's
Right.
what digital enables.
Right. It does tend to, in fact, it also undiff I mean, because scale was very important to printing and traditional mass market distribution, it did in many ways for a long time favor the well-capitalized large companies. You know, if you think about books as kind of large-scale cultural artifacts, who had the capital to pay a big advance would be a bigger publisher.
Right.
And of course, that then translates into visibility and scale in the sales effort. But I think what you're suggesting, I think I tend to agree, is that there is at least temporarily, it may change, an opportunity for almost anyone with good content to reach a marketplace through the emerging digital platform.
I think fundamentally, the fundamental impact of digital is to lower that barrier. It makes it easier for publishers and authors to connect with readers. And that's not something that is as necessary if you're printing a million copies and putting it in every supermarket newsstand in the country.
Although there is the possibility that, as you know, I think people sort of look ahead and think this is, you know, the iPad right now is very open to almost anybody who can get there. But like the App Store on the iPhone and now the iPad, as it starts to fill up and more it attracts, you know, like almost like it feels like an Oklahoma land rush, you know, where everybody's looking at that space and saying, I want to be there. So you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of really smart, really creative people making new products, whether it's an app or a book, and trying to get it in front of people while the space is still relatively empty. But what happens when, you know, all of a sudden there are a million books available digitally as opposed to thousands? And what happens when there are millions more video and audio products that are now competing for that limited landscape, and of course the time that a consumer has to consume digital media is really the max. You know, how many hours in a day can we be consumers?
Right.
So how do you see that evolving?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point, and I do think that's the next frontier or a simultaneous frontier is what does a publisher need to do to enable discovery in this digital world? So it used to be that traditionally it was pretty clear that your books needed to be physically on display in bookstores, and that was one way consumers discovered them, and they needed to be reviewed in traditional newspaper book review sections, and that was another way people discovered them. And there were a whole set of kind of tried and true methods for enabling discovery. And it's actually a very exciting time because there's a whole range of new ways to encourage discovery evolving, and that's going to be a critical role for a publisher or a service provider, a distributor, if you want to use that term, to develop.
That becomes an area now where, you know, whether it's, you know, you, Perseus, or another set of, you know, maybe somebody else emerges, but essentially you see that as a place where you will add value to...
Yeah, absolutely critical, I think. I think encouraging discovery is a major focus for us right now. So we're experimenting and testing all sorts of different digital technologies and strategies to see what works.
Our basic
approach typically in this serving independent publishers mode is to test things for the publishers that we have an ownership interest in first, and when we find things that work, then commercializing those and making them available to any independent publisher. So I feel like that's a key, I think you're absolutely hitting on something critical in this digital era.
I think, and actually what it does, I think, is, and of course this is really a question for you, is doesn't this bring a whole new set of skills and areas of creativity to bear, where you as a publisher or you as a distributor, provider of services, you're now going to have to engage a whole new way of operating, because these are not things that publishers did before. I was thinking about a PR firm that I've worked with. I've noticed that they've created essentially almost what you just described, a digital studio within their company, and turned them loose to try new things.
Right.
And they do,
right.
You know, now, you know, they created videos, and they, you know, they've done strange things that were considered strange in the world of PR, not
right.
really different, you know, not really familiar territory.
Right.
And doesn't that mean that, you know, and of course this is not something that most publishers have ever really done, which is to foster almost like an experimental process within their company. It's hard for an existing company to do that.
Right. And I think we are entering into a period of where you'll see incredible experimentation, I mean, incredible array of experimentation. And it's a very exciting time, and you have to think very much not like an incumbent, and very much like a startup in your willingness to try things and see what works. You know, you'll remember that at Book Expo a year ago, we had this idea of trying to publish a book in 48 hours.
Right, which
right?
you could do.
Right, and
yeah.
it was an exciting test for us. It was a lot of fun. And the idea was book the sequel, come up with an idea for imagine. I think of any book you ever read and imagine a first line to the sequel. So I guess the classic one that was submitted to us because we crowdsourced the content for the book was it actually wasn't the worst times because things got much much worse later on. It was filled with quotes like that, but that was an example of trying to apply new technology and seeing what would happen. And we learned you could actually make a book in 48 hours, and you could have it on a dozen different digital devices, and you could, you know, create editorial content from some kind of crowdsource and have a launch party in the booth on, 2 days later. So it's that kind of thing. I mean, in a way, that was a demonstration project, but it's that kind of thing that we're finding ourselves doing more and more of.
Well, let me ask you, I know you have limited time, so I'll ask you one or two more questions, but just along those lines, do you think that the iPad, as an example, because it is on our minds right now, or the idea of maybe this tablet form, you know, maybe with iPad establishing the form and kind of giving an opening to other companies with different software and hardware who can, you know, create a pretty large market. Do you feel, as I think a lot of people might, that this is really a massive change or potentially leading us to a place where there really is a massive change in the way that people consume writing, whether it's digital, you know, defined as digital or creating new experiences through making writing as an app. Do you feel that, or do you think that this is just one more device along the way to something else?
Yeah, it does feel like it has the potential to have a real dramatic impact. And I think what we're seeing more and more is the transition from businesses that define themselves by their format, whether it was a book or a magazine or a newspaper or a film or a song, to a world where many companies will define themselves in terms of their content and their brand, and because what does the iPad do? It really takes all these different formats and it flips them onto a flat surface where the format becomes less relevant. And so, you know, getting back to an earlier question you asked, David, about some of these relationships that these joint venture relationships we have, I think the iPad's very interesting in that context, because if you think about the relationship we have with Tina Brown's business, The Daily Beast, that's a branded multi-platform company. It's a magazine that lives online. It's also now, through its relationship with us, a book publisher. It's also a company that sponsors major events and then creates content from those events and streams those through its web business and its app and so on. I think that the potential for media companies to redefine themselves around brand and content is one of the big trends we're going to see, and we've got a number of relationships like that. The Daily Beast is one. Rick Steves, the leading travel writer, and is essentially become a multi-platform brand, I think, in
Well,
addition to
yeah, and I was just going to
great
ask
book
you,
writer. Yeah.
does this apply, almost the next natural step, which you have just suggested, is that the author could become the partner rather than necessarily being, in other words, it may redefine the way the author relates to what is a publisher, or maybe a publisher has to be redefined then,
Well,
because
you think about a publisher's role, and the publisher's role is, is the publisher's role is ultimately to help develop the content so that's really compelling and help create demand for the content and then help find a way to fulfill that demand through distribution, right? That need is still there. If anything, it's greater than it's ever been because you've got all the existing physical traditional ways to get those things done, which haven't gone away. And now on top of it, you've got all these digital avenues. So I don't think it's gotten any simpler.
No,
In the
it's
case of someone like Rick Steves, he's built the whole company around his mission, which is to encourage people to travel to Europe and Americans to travel to Europe. And he's found a publishing partner in us to help him.
Yeah, I
So
just wonder if there might be other authors that will come to you. Maybe someone will hear this interview and say, that could be me. I could come to you and, I've got content. I've got the idea for marketing. And obviously, you may not work for a novelist, but it might well work for an author who conceives the content in a different way.
I think that is very possible. I do, and I think, just to this issue of the role of the publisher, I think one of the things we've learned is you have to be flexible in thinking about thinking about one's role. So we have some companies where we're functioning very much in a distribution role, some authors where we're acting in something of a traditional publisher role. We have these JV relationships, and I think you do want to be flexible in terms of the way you think about the business model, and I think it's very possible we're going to see all sorts of innovative partnerships with writers and creators that are thinking about things differently. I'll give you another example. I mean, it's again not a great novel, which is another partner of ours is the Zagat restaurant guide company. So that's a company that started with Tim and Nina Zagat putting together lists of restaurants for their friends and couldn't find a traditional publisher, right? Because the publishers all said, "Who's going to care about what non-experts think about restaurants?" And in a lot of ways, very, very, very prescient company because they anticipated kind of in a way the whole
Right, maybe
crowdsourcing
even,
phenomenon,
right,
right?
maybe even defined it.
Right, maybe, yeah. And very exciting to be a partner of theirs in what they're trying to accomplish. That would be another example of a company that's defined more by the content and the brand than the specific format at this point in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. So in general, very, very exciting time. And over here it's enormously exciting because on the one hand, we have a publishing partner of ours, the Bellevue Literary Press that just published the winner of the Pulitzer Prize in fiction,
Right.
Tinkers, which millions of people are going to enjoy in over the next coming years. And on the other hand, we've got Tim and Nina Zagat and Rick Steves and companies that are reimagining the model for the media business in this era.
Yeah, no, I think you're in a really interesting place, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk. I want to thank you for giving me the time. This is Publishing Talks, a podcast about the book industry. I'm David Wilk, your host. Been talking to David Steinberger, who's the CEO of Perseus Book Group. Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you very much, David. Anytime, really enjoy it.
Thanks.